Monday, February 20th, was a hard-working day. I had my first coffee in Linda's room. She's going back to New York for a week with McCall's, and she's full of the delicious problems of which night shall I have a date with whom? Hugh O'Brien has told her that he'll be in New York and wants to see her. So did John Loeb. And Warren Beatty mentioned that they must get together for lunch or something. Meanwhile, there's our Wednesday night plans. Mary Lasker's party. I suppose it's one of the commonest human emotions. A mother enjoying that time of life over again with her daughter. I'm so glad it's exciting for Linda. And full of variety. And then back for breakfast with Lyndon. And sometime during the morning, down to the theater to see a Head Start movie, Pancho. Warm and skillfully done. Work at my desk with Bess on lists for future parties. On some of the hardest letters to answer. The ones that have to say no to invitations, but still leave the people feeling that it's something you would simply adore to do. Bess writes a splendid letter. Called Ferdinand, the pastry cook, who's just back from surgery. He sounded cheerful. Probably will be back at work soon. And then the first real meeting of the day was with Juanita and Dorothy Tarita and Ashton in the Queen's Room about the Johnson Library. Specifically, the list of people whom we might invite to leave their papers. Juanita and Dorothy have already compiled a formidable book, some 500 names of presidential appointees, at the rank of undersecretary and above, I believe, including all past and present cabinet members that have served under Lyndon, and all ambassadors. The draft of the letter to these has, of course, been approved by Lyndon. It will go out over the archivist's signature and should be ready to send to the whole 500 in something like 6 weeks. But our meeting was particularly to discuss the type of friends. And Juanita, that very organized person, once more had a big book. The Christmas gift list from and to, a garnering from the favorable files through the years, and various other possibilities to consider. Texas congressman he served with from 37 on, former employees. I am constantly amazed at the time, the organization, the detail she has devoted to this. Since 1958, and I am very respectful. For 2 hours, we plowed through the alphabetical list, checking the names that one or all of us thought might be promising, debating some, and then before we would more than skim the surface, and obviously this is a long life's job, it was 5 o'clock and time for the next meeting. That was in the treaty room, with George Christian and Tom Johnson, Doug Cater, and Bob Kentner. The purpose of it was how best to plan any press releases relating to the acquisition of papers. Because 6 weeks from now, when these invitations to government employees, cabinet members, and so forth, are mailed out, we will begin to receive answers. We'll throw a mighty big net to catch a mighty few fish, as Dr. Grover says. But some of them will answer yes. And some of them will talk about it, and it will become a matter of public knowledge. So we wanted to prepare ourselves for this and pool the judgment and the technical know-how of our press staff in order to get the best press out of this. Juanita had prepared a kit of the chronological history of the library and the School of Public Affairs, everything that had happened so that they could all acquaint themselves with it, know what questions to expect and how best to answer them. Our quick thought was, but shortly after the letters went out, when we began to get a reply or two, early on, the archivist, Dr. Bamer, would want to get out a statement listing 3 or 4 of the people who had decided to leave their papers to the Lyndon Johnson Library. Hopefully, these people could be from diverse fields and be rather big names. Dr. DeBakey, of course, is one to be elated about. Now, if we could have 2 or 3 big names from government, from space, from education, that would be the beginning. From then on, it would just be simple, brief statements as any other acquisitions came around. Straightforward and short. Each of them brought forth pitfalls, which just pointed up the fact that it was very important we start thinking about this early, that our answers be well thought out and well grounded in facts. One pitfall, of course, was, does this library sound like self-glorification for a man in office? Another, does this herald a decision not to run in 1968? It is prickly with problems. The opening of the library, the exhibits themselves, everything will present more problems because Lyndon is in office. I'm getting fond of this old room. I think of it as my own board of directors room. Lots of good projects have gone through their labor pains here. Beautification, Lyndon's boyhood home in Johnson City, and most of all, the library. It was nearly 7 when they left, and I went to the bowling alley by myself. played a rather poor 3 games, and then back upstairs and worked a little, and pretty soon Lyndon called and said, "Would you like to meet me in the pool?" I rejoiced. I could, because I was going to the beauty parlor tomorrow. It isn't often that I can say yes when it takes 2 hours and $8 to make me presentable to the public after I've had a swim. Well, I got in and swam and swam and swam. I must have done 30 laps before he arrived with Mary Slater and George Christian, and they joined me, relaxing in the warm waters and swimming not enough, but a great deal better than none. We were upstairs a little before 10, before the four of us had dinner after a drink. Before 11 o'clock, Mary and George had left, and I was in bed, surprisingly tired, and feeling resentful to be so.